Chapter 23. How many thoughts of what entombed hopes? How many visions of a maiden that is no more, no more upon thy verdant slopes? No more. Alas, that magical sad sound transforming all. Thy charms shall please no more, thy memory no more. Accursed ground henceforth I hold thy flower enameled shore, O hyacinth and isle. O purple zant. So adoro. Fire di 11. 1837. --- end of text --- --> scenes from Elysian, an unpublished drama. I, Rome. A hall in a palace, Alessandra and Castiglione. Alessandra. Thou art sad, Castiglione. Castiglione. Sad. Not I, oh, I'm the happiest, happiest man in Rome. A few days more, thou knowest, my Alessandra, will make thee mine. Oh, I am very happy. Alas, methinks thou hast a singular way of showing thy happiness. What ails thee, cousin of mine? Why didst thou sigh so deeply? Cause. Did I sign? I was not conscious of it. It is a fashion, a silly, a most silly fashion I have, when I am very happy. Did I sigh? Sighing. Alas. Thou didst. Thou art not well. Thou hast indulged too much of late, and I am vexed to see it. Late hours and wine, Castiglione, these will ruin thee. Thou art already altered, thy looks are haggard, nothing so wears away the constitution as late hours and wine. Cause. Musing. Nothing, fair cousin, nothing, not even deep sorrow wears it away like evil hours and wine. I will amend. Alas. Do it. I would have thee drop thy riotous company, two fellows low-born ill-suit the like with old D.I. Broglio's heir and Alessandra's husband. Cause. I will drop them. Alas. Thou must. Attend thou also more to thy dress, and equipage they are over plain for thy lofty rank and fashion much depends upon appearances. Cause. I'll see to it. Alas. Then see to it. Pay more attention, sir, to a becoming carriage much thou wantest in dignity. Cause. Much, much, oh, much I want in proper dignity. Alas. Haughtily, thou mockest me, sir. Cause. Abstractedly. Sweet, gentle Lailich. Alas. Heard I aright? I speak to him, he speaks of Lailich. Sir Count. Places her hand on his shoulder, what art thou dreaming? He's not well. What ails thee, sir? Cause. Startling. Cousin. Fair cousin. Madam. I crave thy pardon, indeed I am not well. Your hand from off my shoulder, if you please. This air is most oppressive. Madam the Duke. Enter D.I. Broglio. D.I. Broglio. My son, I've news for thee. Hey? What's the matter?
Observing Alessandra, I the pouts?
Kiss her. Castiglione. Kiss her, you dog. And make it up, I say, this minute. I've news for you both. Politian is expected hourly in Rome. Politian, Earl of Leicester. We'll have him at the wedding. 'Tis his first visit to the imperial city. Alas. What? Politian of Britain, Earl of Leicester? D.I. Brog. The same, my love. We'll have him at the wedding. A man quite young in years, but gray in fame. I have not seen him, but rumor speaks of him, as of a prodigy preeminent in arts and arms, and wealth, and high descent. We'll have him at the wedding. Alas, I have heard much of this politician. Gay, volatile and giddy is he not? And little given to thinking. D.I. Brog. Far from it, love. No branch, they say, of all philosophy, so deep abstruse he has not mastered it. Learned as few are learned. Alas, 'tis very strange. I have known men have seen Politian, and sought his company. They speak of him, as of one who entered madly into life, drinking the cup of pleasure to the dregs. Cause. Ridiculous. Now I have seen Politian, and know him well, nor learned nor mirthful he. He is a dreamer and a man shut out from common passions. D.I. Brog. Children, we disagree. Let us go forth, and taste the fragrant air of the garden. Did I dream, or did I hear Politian was a melancholy man?
Excellent.
2. Rome. A lady's apartment, with a window open and looking into a garden. Lalich, in deep mourning, reading at a table on which lie some books and a hand mirror. In the background, Jacinta, a servant maid, leans carelessly upon a chair.
Lal.
Lalich, Jacinta. Is it thou?
Jack. Jacinta, pertly.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Lal.
I did not know, Jacinta, you were in waiting. Sit down. Let not my presence trouble you. Sit down. For I am humble, most humble.
Jack. Aside.
'Tis time.
Jacinta seats herself in a sidelong manner upon the chair, resting her elbows upon the back, and regarding her mistress with a contemptuous look. Lalich continues to read.
Lal. Tea in another climate, so he said, bore a bright golden flower, but not I this soil.
Pauses, turns over some leaves, and resumes,
no lingering winters there, nor snow, nor shower but ocean ever, to refresh mankind breathes the shrill spirit of the western wind. Oh, beautiful! Most beautiful how like to what my fevered soul doth dream of heaven. Oh, happy land,
pauses,
she died, the maiden died. A still more happy maiden who couldst die. Jacinta.
Jacinta returns no answer, and Lalich presently resumes.
Again, a similar tale told of a Boethius, dame beyond the sea. Thus speaketh one Ferdinand in the words of the play she died full young. One Basola answers him, I think not so her infelicity seemed to have ears to many a luckless lady. Jacinta.
Still no answer?
Here is a far sterner story, but like, oh, very like in its despair of that Egyptian queen, winning so easily 1,000 hearts, losing at length her own. She died. Thus ends the history, and her maids lean over, and weep, two gentle maids with gentle names, Eros and Charmian. Rainbow and Dove. Jacinta.
Jack. Pettishly.
Madam, what is it?
Lal.
Wilt thou, my good Jacinta, be so kind as go down in the library, and bring me the holy evangelists?
Jack.
Saw.
Exit.
Lal. If there be balm for the wounded spirit in Gilead, it is there. Do in the nighttime of my bitter trouble will there be found, you sweeter far than that which hangs like chains of pearl on Hermon Hill.
Re-enter Jacinta, and throws a volume on the table.
There, ma'am, is the book. Indeed she is very troublesome.
Aside.
Lal.
Astonished.
What didst thou say, Jacinta? Have I done aught to grieve thee, or to vex thee? I am sorry. For thou hast served me long, and ever been trustworthy and respectful.
Resumes her reading.
Jack. I can't believe as he has any more jewels. No, no, she gave me all.
Aside.
Lal. What didst thou say, Jacinta? Now I bethink me, thou hast not spoken lately of thy wedding. How fares good Hugo? And when is it to be? Can I do aught? Is there no farther aid thou needest, Jacinta?
Jack.
Is there no farther aid? That's meant for me.
Aside,
I'm sure, madam, you need not be always throwing those jewels in my teeth.
Lal.
Jewels. Jacinta, now indeed, Jacinta, I thought not of the jewels.
Jack.
Oh. Perhaps not. But then I might have sworn it. After all, there is Hugo says the ring is only paste, for he is sure the Count Castiglian never would have given a real diamond to such as you, and at the best I'm certain, madam, you cannot have use for jewels now. But I might have sworn it.
Exit. Lalich bursts into tears and leans her head upon the table after a short pause raises it.
Lal. Poor Lalich. And does it come to this? Thy servant maid, but courage. 'Tis but a viper whom thou hast cherished to sting thee to the soul.
Taking up the mirror,
ha! Here at least is a friend, too much a friend in earlier days. A friend will not deceive thee. Fair mirror and true, now tell me,
for thou canst,
a tale, a pretty tale, and heed thou, not though it be rife with woe. It answers me. It speaks of sunken eyes, and wasted cheeks, and beauty long deceased remembers me of joy departed hope, the seraph hope, inner and entombed. Now, in a tone low, sad, and solemn, but most audible, whispers of early grave untimely yawning for ruined maid. Fair mirror and true thou liest not. Thou hast no end, to gain no heart, to break Castiglian lie who said he loved thou truly false. False. False.
While she speaks, a monk enters her apartment, and approaches unobserved.
Monk. Refuge thou hast, sweet daughter, in heaven. Think of eternal things. Give up thy soul to penitence, and pray.
Lal. Arising hurriedly.
I cannot pray. My soul is at war with God. The frightful sounds of merriment below disturb my senses go. I cannot pray, the sweet airs from the garden worry me. Thy presence grieves me, go, thy priestly raiment fills me with dread, thy ebony crucifix with horror and awe. Monk. Think of thy precious soul.
Lal.
Think of my early days. Think of my father and mother in heaven, think of our quiet home, and the rivulet that ran before the door. Think of my little sisters. Think of them. And think of me. Think of my trusting love and confidence, his vows my ruin, think of my unspeakable misery. Beggin. Yet stay, yet stay. What was it thou saidst of prayer and penitence? Didst thou not speak of faith and vows before the throne? Monk. I did.
Lal.
Lal. Tis well. There is a vow where fitting should be made, a sacred vow, imperative, and urgent, a solemn vow. Monk. Daughter, this zeal is well.
Lal.
Father, this zeal is anything but well. Hast thou a crucifix fit for this thing? A crucifix whereon to register this sacred vow?
He answer his own, not that.
Oh, no, no, no.
Shuddering, not that.
Not that. I tell thee, holy man, thy raiments and thy ebony cross affright me. Stand back. I have a crucifix myself, I have a crucifix, methinks twere fitting the deed, the vow, the symbol of the deed, and the deed's register should tally, father.
Draws a cross-handled dagger, and raises it on high,
behold the cross wherewith a vow like mine. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.